a verdict seen as a crime 25 years ago.
Not guilty, the verdict for all of them, Sergeant Stacy Kuhn, Officers Tim Wind, Lawrence Powell, Ted Briseño. Not guilty of assault, not guilty of filing false reports. Only on one count against Lawrence Powell, on excessive use of force under color of authority, could the jury not agree. On that count, the judge declared a mistrial.
An acquittal for the officers seen on video beating handcuffed and unarmed motorist Rodney King in the first trial became the final provocation for the African-American community fed up with police violence in 1992. On the streets around the intersection of Florence and Normandy, enraged crowds rampaged for 6 days. There were more than 50 people killed, $1 billion in damages. What do those events mean today? And how would the people of today experience similar events as rioters, as victims, as police, as witnesses? John Ridley, Academy Award-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave, addresses this question in his film Let It Fall, a documentary premiering tonight on ABC. Ridley peers through the images of tear gas to find a divided America that preceded the events and that persists to this day.
We're so used to seeing instant images now that for people under a certain age, I don't know that they can really understand two things. One, what it means to capture an outsized, a whispered about. People had talked about this kind of police interaction before, but really had not been on tape. So you have two things. One, the capturing of that image, and not only that image. This was not one blow. This was not 10 blows. This was about 56 blows in about 80 seconds or so. So you're talking about a really outsized expression of a difficult police interaction. Then this is the early days of the 24-hour news cycle, cable news. So you're taking images that people had not seen before, and you're playing them over and over and over again. And in the early days of CNN, you know, initially, ironically, CNN had rejected the tape. It played on the local news, but once it played locally, everybody got it. It was playing not only in Los Angeles, not only across the country, but around the world.
One of the things that's striking about this film, you know, Let It Fall, is that, you know, you're telling a story of a whole decade, and there's a logic to that decade. And then when you see the images of people just exploding into stores, and the logic goes away, and it's terrifying to see.
Obviously, there are many things that people were feeling on that day, the day the verdict was read.
But the verdict that acquitted the officers,
the verdict that acquitted four officers in Simi Valley, and basically a lot of people took that. After many events is saying, you know, if you're a person of color and you're assaulted on the color of authority, it does not matter. There is no recourse. So people felt many things that day, as I was saying, anger and rage and disbelief. But as someone, one of our subjects says, you know, the compassion line was just closed. It was a lack of empathy for other individuals, particularly individuals who were not black.
If you're going to shoot LaTosha Harlins in the back of the head for some orange juice and get probation, you're going to beat Rodney King 57 times with a stick and then somehow want to justify that. You're going to take a battering ram and decide that that's the way you need to get into homes in the black community. And what you're telling me is you have no respect for us.
And that was something that really came to a head at Florence and Normandy.
In that zone, even the police were terrified. And their leaving issued a kind of, okay, there are no rules now. And that seemed to inflame the violence at Florence and Normandy. Do you believe that that's the case?
Well, I absolutely believe that's the case. There was a smaller interaction, very tense interaction, but a smaller one at 71st in Normandy. And a local police commander, an individual had oversight of that division, made the decision to pull his officers out.
Everybody out of here, Florence and Normandy, everybody get out now.
His fear was if they remained, deadly force was either going to be used against the officers or the officers would have to use deadly force against the community.
It would become a shooting war.
Had I allowed my officers to begin to use deadly force at that intersection, God knows what that riot would have turned into. That riot could have been a riot of not just burning down buildings. It could have been a riot of just pure anarchy against the police, and not just against the police in Los Angeles, but against all police across America.
But in pulling his officers out, not just retreating a few blocks, but really pulling them out to a marshaling center, that left no officers. That left no sense of order. And at that point, again, as individuals who were there recount in our documentary, pouring gasoline on a fire, striking a match, and watching it just continue to burn.
The people you talked to who were right in that epicenter, who either were victims or were participants or who attempted to stand in between the people who wanted to commit violence and people who were powerless and just dragged from their cars. What surprised you most about what they told you?
I think what surprised me the most is that every decision to those individuals was a very human decision. They felt as though they had a reason to act the way they acted.
Everyone needs to feel the same pain in their schools, in their churches. You understand what I'm saying? The same anguish, the same heartache. They need to feel the same thing.
On the other end of the spectrum, people who made amazingly heroic decisions, selfless decisions, quite literally put their lives on the line, they didn't come across as though they felt as though they were superhuman. They felt this is something I had to do, and I could not live with myself if I did not go out and try to save these individuals.
Do you know which person you would have been? Would you have been the heroic? Would you have been the angry? Would you have been – is there a way to think about that?
I think ultimately I would have been the person that I was because I had the emotions to the – well, I will categorize them as being to the negative, being outrage and anger at the verdict. I certainly don't think that I would have been the person who would have just randomly attacked a person who was different from me because they were white or Asian or Hispanic. But at the same time, I don't think I would have had the capacity to necessarily go out in an intersection among individuals who clearly were not giving much empathy to other people and say, look, I got to do something. I've got to try to help. In the end, if anybody thought they were balancing the scales, you know, $1 billion in damage, you know, thousands of structures burned down, hundreds of people injured, 50 more than 50 dead, and the majority of them black. You know, nothing was squared. If anything should have been, absolutely nothing was.
That's John Ridley, Academy Award-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave, showrunner for the ABC drama American Crime, and director of Let It Fall, Los Angeles 1982 to 1992, a documentary on the L.A. uprising that is premiering tonight on ABC at 9 p.m. Eastern. Coming up next, filmmaker Sasha Jenkins looks at the riots through a lens of 1965. Stay with us.